There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Right, be prepared. 20 minutes from now. 20 minutes from now, Circle of Swarm. The third one we've done. We're gonna track this all year long just to see who's the swarmiest of the swarm.
Yeah. After losses, we're going to call it the Cirque du Swarm.
The Cirque du Swarm, right.
We'll French it up a little
C-I-R-Q-U-E.
Bit. C-I-R-Q-U-E. The loss.
That's right. And they're going to be forced to dance on tight ropes and things like that.
That's what we'll do. Yep. Yeah. They treat those Cirque du Soleil performers like, but they run
them
through
really?
The grinder.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a sweatshop, huh?
It is. It's a sweatshop for highly trained gymnasts.
Oh, my God.
They've only got so many opportunities to go and work their trade.
You ever been to one of their shows?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It's pretty cool. We've been to the Beatles one. They do one where it's all Beatles music and stuff.
Ringo Starr doesn't perform.
No. Oh. He's not up there on the tight ropes.
Doing somersaults.
Flopping around.
It would
yeah.
be like him doing somersaults across the mat at the bottom.
Yeah.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
Who's the old man singing Octopus's Garden down there?
Paul McCartney's hitting on your grandma
right.
off in the corner.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll get to Circle of Swarm. We got a lot of text and stuff to get to in this segment. I wanted to start here. This was interesting because we always see the... after a win, we see the D'Amico Ryan's victory speech, and it's always very inspiring. It's always upbeat, And D'Amico this week was how whoever it takes, whatever it takes, for however long it takes, we're gonna get a win, and it was cool, man. And he was yelling, he handed out the game balls, and everybody's going crazy. According to James Palmer, that might have been the only part of the going crazy, the whole locker room experience. James Palmer, former NFL Network reporter, former CSN Houston reporter. He was a Houstonian for several years. He was in town. He's working for Underdog Fantasy now. I was talking to James about his job. It's a pretty cool
gig.
Yeah,
they do. That's a good company. Like, found the website of things. I've asked them for advice at times. They know what they're doing. I'm glad James is with them.
They do a lot of the daily fantasy stuff. So he gets to kind of write his own ticket right now.
He's podcasting with Steve Smith Sr.
He picks what games he gets to go to, and it's a pretty cool gig. If you're wondering where James is, so he was doing his podcast with Steve Smith, and he had this to say about the Texans locker room after the win against Jacksonville on Sunday.
I went down to Houston, saw those Texans get back on track, kind of, with a win over the winless Jaguars. C.J. Stroud has a game-winning drive. I get to the locker room. It's a ghost town. It was the worst winning locker room I have covered in 15 years of the NFL. I mean, my head's on a swivel. I'm like, did they not just have a game-winning drive, score with seconds left, and win this game, and there's nobody to be found? Guys who are in there are not talking. I go up to Stephon Diggs. Hey, man, you want to chat? I'm not talking today. Okay. Laramie Tunsil talked for like 30 seconds. And I'm trying to dig going like, what? Am I missing something here?
Okay.
I think the biggest, I honestly, when
got
I heard
more
that,
in a second here, but
when I heard that, I liked it. I was happy about it because I think that, and I think most fans would say, okay, that's cool. These guys have high expectations. I guess the worry word in me is going to both like it, but then also worry, like, hey, wait a second. You got to have some love for the game. You know, you got to be sure you're not pressing too hard and have fun doing this. But overall, I think, yeah, that's a good sign. And it's not, I don't think it was guys being upset that they personally didn't get stats or anything like that. It's just that it's not clicking the way it feels like it should be clicking when you look at it on paper. So I like that that it did not necessarily feel like a victory locker room.
James was compelled to do a little research after this. He wanted to go do a little digging. Why is it like this? Why is this locker room so barren and the people that are here don't want to talk to me? And he did a little digging.
And then I kind of got to the bottom of it, making some calls and some texts. This is a team, Steve, that I think everybody had as what? A Super Bowl contender after CJ Stroud's unbelievable rookie season. Then they just get just destroyed by the Vikings 2 weeks ago. Eke out, like I said, a win against the Jaguars. And essentially what I was told was, we cannot keep playing like this if we want to get to the places we believe we can get to. And my thought is, something was said post-game by D'Amico Ryans to try to get yourself right, because we have a game against Buffalo.
D'Amico has, in the statements that we've been able to see publicly, that's something I've noticed over the last couple of weeks, is he does seem to, while being very positive, you know, in things like a victory speech, he is sprinkling in reminders to guys in all these public statements about, like, hey, how about getting rid of all these penalties and cleaning up the things we need to clean up?
I think there's a little bit, too, of what... I think people used to assume that Gary Kubiak didn't coach people hard because in press conferences he had such an easygoing demeanor. You know, like last week, D'Amico went over and ripped into the defense, I think specifically the defensive line, in the second half of the football game. And, you know, D'Amico... I think CJ 2 days ago talked about how the offensive line gets coached harder than anybody else out there. And he kind of painted a picture that in my mind sounded like, yeah, they're pretty, they're trying to get these guys right. They're devoting the energy to it. So be careful about judging too much from sideline demeanor that you see on television. And not that I think you got to be mother bleeping everybody all the time or anything, but sometimes there's times where you gotta attack problems. You don't want to attack people, but you attack problems aggressively.
Right.
And I think the other thing too, that I saw some people wondering why D'Amico doesn't get more aggressive with the refs or more proactive. I'll credit our engineer, Aaron Raybould, for noticing in the second quarter last week, D'Amico, like, basically just very, very adamantly making a point to the linesman. The linesman pointed to the umpire or the referee, and he went to him and was stating his case for something going on the other side of the ball. In that game, for whatever reason, when I was watching the TV broadcast, they just had it on Doug Peterson the whole time. I think mostly because that's probably a more compelling negative story.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, there's a guy that might get fired
after
this game. Let's watch him. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So you don't get to see everything on the sideline.
Right. Right. So that was James Palmer. Most Texan fans responded positively to that news.
Yeah.
That the Texans, like, okay, good. There's this weird...
They're not feeling like they're just cruising.
Well, there is a weird glitch with fans, and I'm this way at times, so I'm not pointing at all of you listening right now. I'm with you on this. There's a weird thing where we want to see, or in this case, hear about players being just as angry as we are as fans.
Yeah.
Like, do I care more than they do right now? Which is silly, because of the amount of work that you guys put. I'm pointing you as a player that you guys put in. Like, it's a little silly, but that's the emotions of being a fan.
Honestly, I was that way as a player. I was never comfortable with the guys that can just completely and totally yuck it up immediately after a loss.
Yeah.
I'd like to think, even if you have to make a show of it, just look a little bit miserable. There's something about it that always bothered me. It's almost disrespectful, I felt. And then now throwing tantrums and everything, sometimes that's just a guy trying to let everybody know how upset he is.
False hustle.
Yeah, it's false hustle when being looking way more upset. Yeah. But, that's always bothered me even as a player. And I get that. I think that for the most part, like, I think CJ and the other main guys on the team, when they meet at the field, whether it's a win or a loss, you can tell, like, okay, they're trying to be polite, but they're upset, so I'm cool with it.
Yep.
If that's if that is genuinely a meaningless thing, I don't know that it's meaningless, so I like it. It makes me feel better when I see the appropriate level of being upset after a game.
I can see that. The glove thing was a big topic with the offensive line this week.
Yeah, because Laremy Tunsil was wearing the bright red Jazz gloves.
Yeah, got called for a couple holds.
Yeah, and they pointed out on the broadcast that you know, offensive linemen a lot of times don't want to wear bright gloves because it's easier to see the hold.
Well, apparently, too, it was pointed out that Dari Gumbawale got called for a hold on that play where Diggs cut it back across the field.
Yeah.
And he had dark gloves on.
Yeah.
That got pointed out. Against the white jersey. Yeah. So that might have been detrimental there. Landry Locker actually asked Frank Ross about this yesterday, about the glove thing. Do you subscribe to the bright glove theory?
Tunsil was wearing red gloves, picked up a couple holding penalties. Dari, the black, you mentioned, got the holding. So you subscribe to the theory that if opponent's wearing white jersey, you wear white gloves?
I subscribe to the theory of gaining whatever edge you can gain on that. I mean, game of inches?
Okay. So you're co-signing the glove thing. Okay.
Find an edge. Whatever it is. Find an edge. I'm not trying to make that a news story, but, you know, like, whatever.
Okay.
It was already a news story.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing with Tunsil, again, you add it on to, if he got a holding penalty and it was just that one time, that is not something that is universally known by offensive linemen. I told you, my one friend said that was the first thing his coach said on day one of training camp his freshman year at Arizona State, was you're an idiot if you wear bright gloves as an offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. Now, the black gloves versus a white jersey and vice versa, that definitely isn't something that's, I think, common. I know Belichick would coach it. Because I don't think I even had a choice of wearing white gloves back in the day. So, but the bright red gloves kind of calling attention to it, you might as well wear bright yellow gloves.
It's like a
gloves.
Beacon. Yeah.
Yeah. Stick it right into their brains.
What do you think Laremy does this weekend? Because this weekend is a super swaggy weekend uniform wise.
Oh, that's true.
It's the H-Town blue. Yeah. And I'm guessing the Bills are going to be wearing their white jerseys.
Right.
Yeah. So what?
I don't care. Just black or white. It doesn't seem like it's as glaring.
I mean,
of a
white
difference.
Gloves are going to look a little silly with that H-Town blue uniform.
I don't care if somebody's wearing black gloves or white gloves.
Okay.
But I felt
nothing
bad.
That looks like a headlight.
I had tweeted out about this after the game, and I felt bad because I think some people just assumed that, oh yeah, this is something everybody knows. Why isn't Laremy Tunsil doing it? There are a lot of kind of tricks of the trade that a lot of guys know, but not everybody knows. I don't think Ross Tucker had ever been heard of this. He played in the offense. He played in the NFL 9 years as an offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. Because I've talked to J.J. Watt about this sometimes, some of the little tricks for figuring out what the offense is doing. And I was kind of surprised that he didn't know one of my little tricks. But then he knows, you know, 10 times more little tricks than I did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was kind of like, oh, cool. I knew something J.J. didn't.
I probably
could have gotten him like 17 extra sacks if he had just talked to me.
Just talked to you. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what old Laremy does this weekend. We power rank the power rankings on Tuesday on this show. Where do the experts have the Houston Texans? Here's a bonus. You know where the GOAT has the Houston Texans right now? Tom Brady, third.
Number three, the Houston Texans. A huge bounce back win against the Jags last weekend. Nico Collins had a career best game, 12 catches, 151 yards. He had a touchdown. He and CJ are just awesome together. That's what a quarterback receiver duo is all about. And Nico's on his way to a second straight 1,000-yard season. No one's doubting this offense with all the weapons they got. But their defense, they've stepped up huge to make them a more complete team. So they're top five in sacks, top five in passing defense. They're off to a great start. This week's a fun one, but a tough one with the Bills coming to town. Their defense is going to have their hands full. Josh is playing as good as ever. It's going to be a great test at this point in the season to see where they're at. If they can pull off a W, be a huge statement for them to show the rest of the league they're going to deal with the Texans all year.
The biggest thing about that, when he points out the defense, I think that is another one of those that doesn't feel like the defense has played as well as they have. Part of the problem is that they don't have a great red zone defense, but they've also had to defend a short field a good amount of times. Partly because
at least two that were very short.
Yeah, special teams issues.
Block punt, muff punt.
And then C.J. Stroud, interception. They had to right off the first play of the game.
Yeah.
He had to block a goal line situation.
Yep.
So, I think there's parts of it where it doesn't feel like it. On a per-yard basis, which the Gamblers love, and is usually a pretty good indication, they're fifth best right now in yards per play. So, like, wow. they've generally...
That's really good.
And they're, you know, I think some of that was... I mean, the Bears game was absurd. The Bears game...
3.1 yards per play.
Yeah, they just destroyed the Bears.
Yep,
and they do a lot of stuff that they're not going to do every week, like blitz a boatload. So, yeah, there's reason to be optimistic about the Texans defense. It's going to feel like a bend but don't break defense a lot, but if when executed properly, no can offense. Yeah,
yes.
No can offense versus that.
That's
versus
right.
The crane kick of that defense when properly executed.
That's right. That's right. So Brady's got him 3. He's got Minnesota 2, and he's got Kansas City 1. It's weird to see Tom Brady doing like power ranking videos and stuff. You know what I mean?
He probably hated him when he was a player. He
greatest of all time, and he's doing videos like guys like us are sitting there, and probably getting paid significantly more to do it. I would say.
I haven't checked in on his broadcasting at all, or his color commentary. How's he doing on the color commentary?
He is
showing more personality.
I haven't seen any.
Richard Deitch did a little appraisal of him.
Yeah, I haven't seen any reports on it either.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm not totally certain.
I know one of our listeners last week basically said it's really hard watching a game with Brady knowing that you could have had Greg Olsen. I mean, it feels very much right now like Tom Brady, even though he created and earned his career and all of the benefits he gets from it, and yet he's stepping into a new profession where it kind of feels like the fancy lad from Yale got the management job. The dude that's been hustling and grinding has been doing a good job. Got passed over because this guy was in the right eating club at Yale or something.
Yes, yes. Nepo. There's something Nepo going on.
Even though Brady earned all of that credibility,
the adulation,
and the
yeah.
name recognition and all of that.
Yep, yep. Someone said here on the I got to find the text that there was proof back in the day that you took the losses harder than maybe some did.
I know you guys can't see me, but jeez.
Poor John Granato.
John Granato
got
tried
the brunt
to,
of how upset to, I was after a game.
Tried to give you a gift card after the game. You were the player of the game.
I was the player of the game in a loss.
Yeah.
Which is always, that's just, you never feel.
Do you think they completely reassessed who they would send to do the post-game interview with Granato and give a gift card to after that little escapade by you?
I know you guys can't see me, but
well, it's a poor Granato. He's trying to give me it was a pretty tidy sum, too.
Yeah.
It could have been a nice gift, it could have been a nice Christmas present for somebody. I don't think I could tell by his face that he didn't expect it one bit.
He definitely didn't expect the cursing. I just wonder if, like, as a team, the Texans are like, all right, after losses, we need to make sure we find guys that just really don't care as much as Seth does.
Yeah, or guys that are going to be maybe younger players that are up and coming and they're just happy to get the recognition. I'm like, this is the last kind of recognition I want.
Or
you know, best player in a crappy performance by the defense.
Or for whom that gift card is actually a significant sum
yeah,
of money. I mean, you were like a 7 or 8 year vet at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
You made your millions at that point.
It's always nice to have. So Hardy Nickerson taught me that. Early in my career, because I already had made a boatload of money by those days' standards.
By the Jacksonville days.
Adjusting for inflation, it was like $47,000 a year. But he made it again. I saw him like clipping coupons one day.
Yeah, man.
And he's like, hey, man, just keep living the same way.
Yeah.
Just want to be sure. You never know.
That's good, man.
You don't want to be begging for it when you're older.
That is smart.
I am a stingy SOB.
Good.
Frugal.
Yeah.
Frugal.
Frugal. Yeah, frugal. Generous, but frugal.
Well, that's a thing. Yeah, then you always... You know what? A little money management advice for people.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a money management, because this is going to help you save money. But they're always... And if you want to learn to live a little bit more simply, when you're like, I don't know how much these lattes cost. Probably like $8 or $9.
Right.
You're like, oh, wait a second. I'm going to Venmo my nephew some cash or something.
Instead of buying this coffee.
Yeah, instead of that. Yeah.
Kind
of realize like, oh, okay, I can give... Some of this that I don't really need and I don't necessarily get that much enjoyment from, I can give.
Dude.
Of course, I don't.
I waste so much money buying snacks and beverages when I go to get gas. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm gonna go inside. I'm going to pay inside. Let me get this $2.59 Gatorade.
And it's the worst. You feel
$2.19 bag of chips.
Plus, you look at there's a 12-pack of... generic brand bottled water for like $3.99.
So dumb.
But then you go and buy the glitzy bottled water that's supposedly
one
from
bottle.
Switzerland for the same amount of money.
Same amount of money as a
whole
case.
Just make stupid decisions.
And it tastes the same.
It's
water.
The Vegas of the gas world.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like every time I step into a convenience store, there's
so
too much
dumb.
Temptation. Let's not
I'm
even talk
worst,
about the women.
Dude, I'm the worst. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Catch yourself a lonely cashier at 3 a.m. and she's bored.
Yeah.
She's bored.
Yeah.
And she respects the man who bought the fancy bottled water.
She does. Showing off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, meanwhile, your investment, as you're sitting here talking about being smart with your money and whatnot, you do have a 40-to-1 ticket on Kamari Lassiter.
Right.
To win Defensive Rookie of the Year.
I like the risk-reward proposition on that.
Bill Barnwell has him as the Defensive Rookie of the Year at the quarter of the season mark.
Yeah.
4 games in.
The biggest thing with Lassiter that I have to point out, when I've been on Buffalo radio a bunch this week and YouTube, because I grew up in that region, and so a lot of these guys covering the team actually covered me when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. So I have a good old time reuniting with them.
Yeah,
I think that some of the Texans' pass defense statistics this early in the season are a little bit skewed, in that there's multiple wide open touchdown opportunities for some of these teams.
Yeah.
That bad quarterbacks have not been able to capitalize on. Specifically, Trevor Lawrence and Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
Josh Allen. I mean, I think this is a general sentiment. This isn't an original thought. A lot of us watching those games were thinking the same thing the entire time. If Josh Allen were the quarterback of the Colts, if Josh Allen were the quarterback of the Jaguars.
Texans are 1-3.
And certainly if Josh Allen were the quarterback of the Bears, it might have been a little dicier because they were in a lot of physical matchups. But I think at least those two teams... Yeah, if Josh Allen were the quarterback, the Texans wouldn't have run that game. So the pass defense and Kamari Lassiter himself, Lassiter is doing awesome by rookie standards, and I'm very excited about him. But some of the completely blown coverages or defeats in coverage, they're going to show up if you don't tidy that up versus Josh Allen.
It doesn't even need to be Josh. And I know you're bringing up Josh Allen.
Could have been
Sam Darnold this weekend. It could have been Sam Darnold.
Right.
It could have been Brock Purdy. It could have been, honestly... You're talking about two of the least accurate quarterbacks in Richardson and Lawrence. It could have been almost anybody else, and those are touchdowns in those games. He's got Nico third for Offensive Player of the Year. You know this kind of low-key Offensive Player of the Year campaign I'm on for Nico. I think Nico's amazing.
I think Nico's incredible. I do think – I said something yesterday that I think it came out the wrong way. I can see why people took it the wrong way.
On our show?
No, on my stream.
Oh, gotcha.
As I was slowly dehydrating on my way to passing out at 2 a.m. and hitting my ribs on something. So maybe that's why I didn't say it exactly the way I wanted to say it. But, frankly, the way I put it was Nico Collins is having an incredible season. He doesn't have this season if Stephon Diggs isn't on the roster.
Correct.
It is still... Yeah, they're facing a lot of zone, but they still can't really focus on Nico as much as they would if Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell, when he's healthy, were out there. So Nico's the best suited to play against this because he's an old school. That's what wide receivers used to look like. They all used to look like Nico. Mm-hmm. I'm the guy, your top two guys. If you didn't look like that, you were a bum. Within reason. So. I think he's the best that's able to capitalize on this, and it's awesome. Because without Nico, now, by the same token, without Nico, the offense might be shot right now,
too. Yeah, it all works together.
Yeah, I wasn't saying as a slight against Nico, but it maybe as a way of saying, look, Stephon Diggs doesn't have the electrifying numbers, but he's performing
his role. He's crucial.
Other guys, especially the Agumbawale, the big run, I think. It was either the big run or the one on the final touchdown drive out on the right sideline. The cornerback was cheated towards Stephon Diggs, and he couldn't make the play as well as he might otherwise.
Nico is first in receiving yards in the NFL, first in receptions of 10-plus yards, first in receptions of 20-plus yards, first in first down receptions, first in 100-yard games, second in catches, second in yak. Yards after catch.
Yak's
he's having
a big one.
He's having a, yeah, he's second in yak among wide receivers.
ESPN has that new metric that's all fancy, and I don't know how it works, but because they said Stephon Diggs was, I believe, the third best receiver in the league, I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, well, because that one factors in plays where they don't get the football.
Just how much separation
they
create.
How open are they getting? Yeah.
Well, and I think, too, with CJ, there is. I think it clicked for him in that game. It's funny, D'Amico said he thought that game against the Jaguars was the best game that CJ's played as a pro. And I think a lot of it was just simply that he's starting to get into the rhythm of understanding that you're going to have to check the ball down. The thing CJ said after the game or on Wednesday was you got to trust your guys to make plays, guys like Agumbawale. So it's 3rd and 18, feels like a time you should be pressing. But, all right, there's nothing down there. I'm not going to force it. I'm going to give it to Agumbawale, and he trucks for a first down on that play.
Yep.
Making more of the – he's never been like a rookie in being overly aggressive downfield, but the willingness to check down in time and in rhythm I think is a lot closer and more precise than it was before.
I agree with that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
All right, let's get to it.
You know, D'Amico always says, swarm.
What we're looking for is players, right, who are looking to swarm.
The swarm mindset, that whole mentality.
Right, we want players to have a special work ethic and a relentless mindset in everything that they do.
Who's in?
This is a special group of men, believe it.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Texans Circle of Swarm.
All right, this is the third week we've done this. We're going to do it every week. It's our Circle of Swarm, and this is me and Seth subjectively picking these. There's six. He picks three, I pick three. It's a year-long thing with kind of a skew towards recency is what I'll call it. Mm-hmm. So last week's game factors in heavy on this, but the season as a whole factors in. It's really what we want to do. So the Circle of Swarm, these are the six players heading into week five here against the Bills, leaning on for some swarm. Seth, I'm going to let you, since you're so banged up today.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to let you
playing
go first.
Through injury. Yeah. I might pass out before the final pick.
Yeah.
It's tougher this week. It's tougher this week. Even after a victory, there weren't necessarily a whole lot of swarm-like performances. Yeah. And this is also factors in previous stuff.
Yeah, this is where the whole year kind of factors in.
Nico Collins is easy.
So you're going Nico.
Yeah.
Off of me just reciting all those Nico stats.
Yes.
Yeah, Nico. Hey, let's play that cut, Ben, if you still got it, from Nico, as long as we're picking him for the Circle of Swarm. Nico was doing some locker room yesterday, doing some media. This is Nico on his mindset.
I feel like just let the game come to me. step between them lines, man, just having fun. At the end of the day, man, it's just football. So I feel like that's the mindset I got to have, you know, just be the best one out there, be the guy in front of you, can't stop me. So I feel like that's the mindset you got to have every time you step between them lines, man. So I feel like that's my mindset right now. Continue to grow, continue to find that 1%, man, and continue to just keep grinding how I'm grinding.
Sounds like Swarm to me.
That sounds Swarm-like.
Sounds Swarmish.
Yep. Sounds like a guy that is not a diva. He just shows up, goes to work. Very Andre Johnson-like. He's more extroverted than Andre, but he's got a kind of a stoic work ethic and approach to the game that I like.
And he's been a fixture in the circle, as he should be.
Yes.
He's been in every circle that we've done so far. Mm-hmm. All right. My next one, I'm going to go with somebody new on this one. I'm going Kalen Bullock.
Okay.
Kalen Bullock, who is now really functioning as a starter at safety. And so it's a combination of he's had a solid rookie year so far. He's been solid since he set foot in the building. But with a heavy skew this week towards that hustle play that he had, I mean, that's the definition of open field swarm right there. He was a one-man swarm that managed to get Tank Bigsby out of bounds and probably save the game. They go down 27-17 there, and you're teetering on. You got to pitch a perfect game the rest of the way. And we know from watching that fourth quarter, they were far from perfect the rest of the way. They punted five times in a row in the second half.
I don't think he was awesome in coverage last week, and yet when it comes to the whole mindset and the way you got to play and the way you got to come up big in big moments.
Yeah.
Is
that acceptable?
Well, yeah, I guess I can't veto any of them, but we'll put him in there.
No.
I could grade you afterwards.
That's fine.
I'll say then. Again, likewise, even though it wasn't his most brilliant statistical performance, but the manner in which CJ calmly, coolly, and collected drove the team down the field where the ball never touched the ground that entire series at the end. It was just a very efficient job of NFL quarterbacking, and it was clutch in the moment. So CJ Stroud.
CJ Stroud is yours. CJ's made it, I think, each week as well. As long as we're on old reliables, I'm going to put Aziz Alshire in the circle of swarm again. Okay. He had a nice blitz early in the game that got the Texans off the field. Unfortunately, Steven Sims muffed the punt. But more so, just the whole vibe around the goal line stand, where it was Aziz, it came over to the sidelines, and he and D'Amico kind of broke the cheat code there on them and figured out it was going to be a QB draw. And Aziz is always smacking guys in the mouth, and he's always around things. So I'm going to put Aziz in the circle of swarm.
I would say another guy on that goal line drive who made a very, very big play on third down, Derek Stingley.
Are you putting him in?
I'm going to put Derek Stingley in for the first time this year.
I almost had him on my watch list. All right, so Stingley.
Stingley, I think, had his best game in coverage in that game.
He had two big passes.
Some of the run defense was on the defensive backs as well. When you're not setting the edge, sometimes it's the defensive end, sometimes it's the defensive backs. They need to be more on point with that stuff. That was one thing Stingley got a lot better at last year, was just kind of coming up and not trying to make the tackle, but forcing the play back inside. He's fallen back into some of his older habits where he's almost kind of trying to two-way it or two-gap it, where sometimes you just got to force it back inside. But on the sum total of things and on the coverage side of things, I feel very good about Stingley.
Stingley, is he having a... I know the Pro Bowl is, I know the Pro Bowl is what it is. Is he having a Pro Bowl caliber year so far in your mind, Stingley?
I think, yeah. It's not... There's just some of the bad plays, it's tough necessarily knowing how they're going to play it, because they play multiple different coverages where the safety, sometimes it looks like Stingley's getting beat, but that it's actually the safety should be picking him up, vice versa. So it's hard with those guys with the way they play defense to always, I think sometimes it gets pinned on Stingley when it's not necessarily his fault.
Yeah, there's some rough film.
And that's where some of the safety play. That's where I'm a little skeptical of Lassiter, Bullock at this point.
Yeah.
And sometimes where, sometimes it'll look like the cornerback got duped on a double move when in fact Stingley might be like in palms coverage, chasing the inside breaking route.
Yeah.
But then because he realizes what the play is, he gets back and people think like, oh, it's on Stingley. He was right there and got beat. Like, no, that actually, it's got to be the safety.
I need Bullock to get a pick this weekend to justify my placing him in the circle of swarm. Mm-hmm. I need him to come up big for me. Kalen, if you're listening, need you to come up big this weekend, buddy. I went to bat for you on the circle of swarm.
That long run, even though Kalen Bullock made that play, there was a mental error somewhere on the defense, because I cannot imagine that the way that defense lined up and played, that was what they plan to do versus 33.
So could Kalen have been cleaning up his own mess?
I don't know. I don't know. You just never know, right? Yeah, that's where it's so. It's where it's so dicey blaming a single person because there's so many mental errors that people wouldn't realize, and then it ends up making the coordinator and other players look awful because one guy didn't blitz or what have you. Yeah,
I need to go back and look at D'Amico and Matt Burke and guys like that getting asked about that play by Kalen.
Yeah,
because they all praised him for it, right? Yeah. Like that's the kind of hustle we want. Blah blah blah. I need to go back and see just how sheepish the praise might have been.
Yeah, I mean,
because they're not going to dime him out in a press conference.
It was third and three, and they had a linebacker basically playing three technique with nobody blitzing into one of those gaps to help him out or anything.
Yeah, yeah. Someone said Stingley misses tackles a la Deion. I think Stingley's a pretty good tackler, actually. I think Deion's like... Deion was like ridiculously Deion to the end of not
contact.
Wanting to tackle.
Yeah, no,
that's nuts.
That's an unfair insult.
Yes.
Deion was actively trying to avoid contact. I don't think Stingley tries to avoid contact.
Yeah, like I don't think Stingley seeks out guys to go headhunting or anything, but I think he's a willing tackler.
It's
going to
be a controversial this one this week because I think that the fifth and sixth spots were not easy. We didn't have a hard time deciding between who should be sixth or seventh.
Well, I still got to do this last one here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Daria Gumbawale.
Oh, damn it. I should have taken
Daria Gumbawale, man.
That's a perfect swarm.
Daria's swarm, man. Daria's swarm had the big third and 18 conversion in the game, had the winning touchdown. He was the guy that they were clearly trusting on that final drive. The only running back that was on the field throughout that whole drive was Daria Gumbawale.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean they're going to hand him the ball 15 times this coming Sunday. But if there is a game-winning drive to be had, Daria Gumbawale will be on the field. Assuming that Joe Mixon and Dameon Pierce are both still injured, they neither have practiced so far this week.
Yeah, I should have put him in.
Well, he got in. It's all right. Stingley's a good pick, man. If you picked Daria, I would have picked Stingley.
Daria is my Sam Bowie now, or no? He's my Jordan out on.
Yeah, that everybody compares him to Michael Jordan. Yeah,
who are you? Who do you want? Who do you really want to enter the circle of swarm most this?
He's already been in it, but it would be nice. Jalen Petrie is somebody I'm always rooting for because his style of play is conducive to it. You know what I mean? So Petrie, I would say Kamari Lassiter. I don't think he's been in the circle of swarm yet, and yet I think his style of play is very D'Amico-like.
Yeah.
Tank Dell. Tank Dell is somebody I want badly in the circle of swarm.
I almost don't want him in the circle of swarm because it might include him just
blocking,
coming down and rooting out a tight end on goal line or something.
I want him in the circle of swarm for breaking somebody's legs.
Based on receiving production.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs, too. One of those two guys. I want them. Yeah. I expect one of them to be in the circle
Diggs
of swarm.
Diggs was in last week.
Yeah.
Diggs was in last week.
Oh, he was. That's right.
Diggs was in last week. Okay. Yeah. It's nice to change it up a little bit sometimes, though. But there's some you just like Nico and CJ, you just can't ignore.
If you had asked me to handicap it, I wouldn't have expected that Tank Dell wouldn't have been in it in the first three games.
I agree with you.
So,
yeah,
there's that.
I agree. Do you have anybody in particular you're rooting for? Or is it...
I'd like one of the offensive linemen to make it. I know that I would never put one of the
one
of the Instagram offensive tackles in the circle of swarm, but I'm open to it. Yeah. I'm open to it. I'm not going to be. People improve. People make progress.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this week's Circle of Swarm, Nico Collins, Kalen Bullock, CJ Stroud, Azeez Al-Shaair, Derek Stingley Jr., Daria Gumbawale.
And to be clear about the offensive tackles, it's not that they're not good pass protectors, but there are other elements to the game of football.
There are?
Yes. Yes, there very much are. So being a good pass protector and not allowing pressures, et cetera, is only one of the things they ask you to do as an offensive lineman.
Someone texts in 5018. Seth, I watched your YouTube podcast last night with my wife. She thinks somebody kicked your ass. Your eye looks pretty bad, sir. I think someone should talk to Sean about his rage.
I had a rough week. I got hit by
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. You don't know the half of it, Texter.
The thing on my face was when I got hit by a barrier arm walking out of a parking garage. It came down
on
me.
That was like on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was on Saturday afternoon. I was pretty bloody after that. And then last night, I had hardly eaten anything all day. And then I did a long bit of cardio before bed. And I was like, I was kind of hungry. I wasn't hungry, but I hadn't eaten all day. And I should have known better. So when I get dehydrated, I pass out. And it's at like 2 a.m., when I'm going to the bathroom and I hit a lot of hard surfaces. I woke up on the floor of the bathroom like, why am I sleeping on the... This is weird. I don't remember going
That's
to sleep
scary,
on the floor
dude.
Of the
You didn't
bathroom.
Get that descriptive before.
And my
before.
Wife's not here either.
Yeah.
And I just... And my ribs were hurting so much. So I thought like, am I having a kidney failure? But I looked in the mirror finally this morning. I'm going to have a... I might have a.
Are you going to go see somebody about this?
Probably. I know dehydration is what made me pass out three times in the middle of the night.
I'm just talking about the blunt force trauma that you.
We'll see how
endured.
It goes out. If I can't sleep, then I will.
Okay. Okay.
I don't want to be getting. No, I've had enough radiation coursing through my body at various times. I don't need any
I hear
more.
You.
Damn it.
I hear you. I hear you. All right, pain.
I feel all right right now.
Yeah, you're doing good.
A little loopy.
You've had a good show. Yeah, you're doing good. Still got 2 hours and change to go, but I think you're going to be fine.
I'll be fine. Well, I got a dentist appointment after this, too.
Man, they're just putting Humpty Dumpty back together again.
Dr. Wahid might have to do a little
eyeball almost gets sliced out. You got your dental appointment. Is this just a routine checkup, or you got stuff going on with your teeth?
They're putting a permanent crown on. I got a temp in there right now. Luckily, I didn't knock it out. I definitely hit my head on something. I don't know. That's what scares me the most is, man, I definitely hit my head. I woke up and I thought, because I was watching the Menendez brothers before I went to bed. Brandy and I were watching it together. She off in a distant location. But, you know, that's all about like some pretty extreme murderous stuff.
Yeah, dude.
And, you know, in family murder. And my first thought, for some reason, I woke up on the ground and I was like, somebody snuck in and cold cocked me. Because I could tell I'd been hit in the head.
Yeah.
And then my ribs were all broken. And or felt broken.
Yeah.
And I crawled back to bed because I've passed out multiple times before. And I got into bed and I thought in my mind, I really thought that my brother had come in to do me in because he had a life insurance policy on me or something. Because I had the Menendez brothers in my brain.
Yeah.
And my thought was, gosh, I wish I'd tied up some loose ends, but I'm so tired. And I can't get up out of bed, and I can't be bothered with an ambulance ride right now. I'm just going to go to sleep.
It's very inconvenient.
And whatever happens, happens. I hope Dan spends the money wisely. And, And then when I got up again later to go to the bathroom, I passed out on the way back from the bathroom. Same thing. I woke up, and I'm like, why am I sleeping on the floor?
Dude.
This is weird.
I feel like someone's going to come in and get you listening to these stories right here. Like, dude, you should not be on the radio right now. But you seem fine. Like,
it's all electrolytes.
Yeah.
It was my pee. I drank like 5 pints of water this morning. My pee was still dark yellow.
Yeah, let's get super
I'm not at a championship level.
Tom Herman.
Champion level.
Pee shade.
Yeah, yeah. I was at a loser level.
All right. Let's get to the let's mix in a little bit of Astros here. Three big questions heading into the offseason. Chandler Rome had these. We'll try to give our best answer to these questions. And I took a look at the baseball schedule. Man, there's something in common with all these teams for the baseball schedule. We'll get to that coming up as well.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's hit a little Astros. We'll get back to football at the top of the hour. We'll stack the card for this weekend in the NFL. I think the Texans and the Bills might be the best game on the board. We'll get to that at 8 o'clock. But the Astros, man, this feels super weird, not getting ready for the ALDS this weekend. It feels terrible. Chandler Rome had three big questions for the Astros heading into the offseason. I hate that we're doing this on October the 4th or whatever it is, but we are.
It ain't right.
The biggest question.
It ain't right, Sean.
It ain't right, man. It ain't right. Damn wild card round. The big question, obviously, and Chandler nails it, is will they make a serious effort at re-signing Alex Bregman? It's interesting. It's interesting. Chandler does a really good job of explaining each of these questions and what the potential answers are to all of this. I feel like the expectation right now within the fan base is that Bregman won't be back, but I feel like the fan base wants him back at the right price. Chandler makes sure to mention in here that the starting point for any negotiation with Bregman is probably the Matt Chapman contract, 6 years, $151 million. Chandler does lean heavily into the Bregman portion of this article, into Altuve's insistence that Bregman come back. And Altuve saying that he is going to have a talk with Jim Crane about this.
And that he basically commanded Alex Bregman to sign back here, too.
Yes.
That's interesting. That throws a dynamic into it that I hadn't really anticipated. Because we haven't heard Altuve speak with this much passion about keeping a guy.
Ever.
In the past, it's been a lot of saying really nice things about guy. Crane is his best bud, mm-hmm. but also understanding the business of it all. This feels like Altuve almost is... I wonder if he can feel it kind of slipping away. You know, just the way the last couple postseasons have been, where they very easily last year could have just not even made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like an ALCS worthy team, and yet they made a good push. Then you have this, an early ejection. Yeah, I wonder if it has as much to do with Bregman or just the feeling of this is Bregman, who I love the same way I loved Correa or Spring or anybody else. But man, this really feels like you're letting go of the guys that Bregman can provide something maybe on a personality side that's just different than Altuve, and Altuve probably knows that.
Yeah, I think you're onto something with maybe where we're at in the cycle of this team, where Altuve's at age-wise in his career. Altuve just signed a 5-year extension, you know, that kicks in next year.
He doesn't want to be in on a reset.
Yeah, does he want to be on a team that's winning, you know, mucking their way to 76 wins every year and not very competitive? He's lived a worse life than that. Because I guess the question would be like, Altuve clearly feels different right now than he did, at least outwardly.
Yeah.
He's compelled to do different things, let me put it that way, than he did when Springer became a free agent and Correa became a free agent.
Well, and he also...
And when Verlander became a free agent after 2022.
I know we joke around about it, but the three ejections that he had this year, I think it was maybe a little bit of an indicator of either him just feeling that much like, man, we gotta... this is it. Like, we really gotta become... We got to stay the team that we are.
Yeah.
And you can feel it. You can feel it, you know, leaving his grasp if they don't do something.
This will be very interesting to see. If Altuve follows through and goes to Crane and says, we need to keep Bregman.
Yeah.
And they don't keep Bregman. Now, maybe Bregman's choice. Maybe they make a great offer to Bregman, but maybe there's part of Bregman that's compelled to go try something new. You know, maybe go help a different team. I have no idea. But this will be very interesting if Altuve goes to Crane saying, bring back Bregman, they don't do it. And then there's this dynamic of, oh, you're going to listen to Reggie Jackson and Jeff Bagwell, but you're not going to listen to Jose Altuve.
Right. You'll listen. These are the guys that you want, all the guys that hate the analytics that you spend so much money on and everything.
Yeah.
You'll listen to them, but the guy who's on the field.
On the field and is maybe your greatest player of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
And the most popular player of all time.
The other thing, too, is with Bregman, you put up the poll and it was about, 70% of people were 75% in favor of giving him the Matt Chapman
3-1
contract.
Yeah.
So, okay, if you had asked that same question back in late June, it wouldn't have been 70%.
6 years, 150. You know, it would have been lower for sure.
And yet, at the time we were talking about, early June, at the time we were talking about, all right, if the Astros are going to make a push, it's going to have to come with some of these guys who are previous MVP candidates making a big push as well. And Bregman became that guy.
Yeah.
As bad as multiple people on that team got off to really bad starts, but Bregman was one of the guys that really helped them lift them out of the morass.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to look at the sum total of it all.
The second question Chandler has is the one that makes me nervous about retooling this team this offseason. Will Crane maintain a massive payroll? The Astros have $115 million committed to seven returning Major League players.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Alvarez, Jose Altuve, Ryan Presley, Josh Hader, guys like that. Add in the $19.5 million that they still owe Jose Abreu. Add in the $11.5 million that they're paying Rafael Montero to be a Sugarland Space Cowboy.
I can't add all this in my head, Sean. This is a lot.
That's $146 million now. So Chandler's done the work. Now there's your arbitration eligible guys. So we haven't even factored in Framber Valdez, Kyle Tucker, guys like that, Chaz, guys like that. They estimate that your 10 arbitration eligible players are going to make $58 million next year. You're up to $204 million before you've even, for about 18 players, 17 on the team, 19 total when you include the two guys they cut, and you haven't even started retooling yet. The luxury tax threshold is in the 240 somewhere. It's 241. So you've only got $37 million with which to fill out, to go get a first baseman, to possibly have to replace Alex Bregman, go get an outfielder or two.
Look, this trade deadline, the Astros were very aggressive in terms of giving up promising young prospects for a pitcher that needed to make a turnaround, and that worked out brilliantly. But it was a very aggressive move by Jim Crane. I don't think they would have done it if they hadn't had that push at that point. But you know, Crane is very much a never-say-die guy. I don't think he looks at it like the window is closing. And you're at the point in the stage of your development where you're going to have to maintain this level of success, and with the players you have on your roster, you're going to have to be a luxury tax team.
Yeah.
Maybe to an extreme degree at times.
There's no way Not no way. I mean, you can get lucky on some things.
Ain't no way.
I don't. Well, I just don't think there's a way they improve the baseball team without going over the luxury tax.
Chandler got deep on this. He called. He brought up an economic principle.
What's
he
that?
Said the Astros are on the Gibbon trajectory.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They started modestly, built up into a mighty empire, but thanks to incursions from competitors, economic pressures, and the natural forces of cosmic regression, the fortress is showing wear and tear. So just like big companies like IBM have this huge advantage. Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. People catch up. So people have caught up to the Astros in some ways.
Oh, that was the ESPN guy who said that. That was a Chandler.
I'm going to credit Chandler.
Give it to Chandler. Yeah, the
Bradford Doolittle sounds. That's AI.
Yeah.
He definitely plugged into ChatGPT. Give me an economic principle that sounds like the Astros.
Now, he thinks that this Doolittle character from ESPN thinks Bregman is staying here. That's his prediction. Stays here on a long term. Based on what?
I am as uncertain as I ever thought I would be. I thought for sure he'd be gone. But, man, with Altuve, that's just a whole big added element.
It is. Dude, I hate all these teams that are in the playoffs right now in baseball. And it's not just because all eight of them are not the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a hard time finding one to back if I want to root for one. You know how I get. When my team gets eliminated, the teams that I root for to win a championship are the teams whose fan bases infringe the least on my mental health.
Right.
You know, like I don't want to hear New York fans, Philly fans are the worst, fans are awful.
What about Detroit with A.J. Hinch? Maybe you could cheer for A.J. Hinch more.
Yeah, but there was that one guy. The guy that you went after.
Nah,
yeah, I don't want that guy to get satisfaction.
He lived. And he's a listener.
Yeah.
He won't stop listening. It's hilarious.
That's true.
He listens and listens and listens while telling us how awful we are.
Okay, the least.
So I enjoy that guy now. I'd like to reward him for being such a loyal listener.
The least intrusive World Series for me would be Detroit against San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's no. Yeah, that's. Okay. I can get with Detroit. I like AJ
Hinch.
So
Detroit versus San Diego, you could actually pull for Detroit.
Yeah, because I don't want in the NL, I don't want the Dodgers, Mets, or Phillies in there. And in the AL, I don't want the Yankees, Guardians, or who's the other team in the AL? Kansas City. And Kansas City, delightful people. You have the Chiefs. You don't need a World Series championship, okay? So yeah, Detroit and San Diego, that's what I'm rooting for.
That's one of the questions I got asked when I was on in Buffalo yesterday. We got off on a baseball side topic. Oh, because he was making the point, Mike was making this point, that Mike Catalana, that, hey, you know, how are you guys feeling? You're 3-1, and I'd already talked about how they haven't really looked like they're firing on all cylinders. He said, yeah, but the AFC South doesn't look so hot. Are you feeling good about that? I'm like, no. I just watched the Astros, like, clinch the division without having to do a damn thing in the last month because they were in a weak division. Yep. No, there's nothing about me right now that feels good about having a bad division.
Good answer. All right, let's stack the card for week 5. We'll do 5 reasons I hate you at 8:25. Lisa Ann, a lot of you have been asking, like, where's Lisa been? Lisa, one time only, reunion. We were talking this week, and she said, I want to come back on with you guys for a Friday. So we're going to do that. A little fantasy football advice for you for old time's sake at 8:43 on the show today. We stack the card for the weekend, and that is coming up next.
Sean, thank you so much.
No problem.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.